The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Greetings, everyone. I'm Jennifer Green for the North Carolina Reading Service, and this is Teen Magazines. For the next half hour, I will be reading to you from theteenmagazine.com. Our first article today from theteenmagazine.com, Why Political Neutrality is a Privilege. This article was written by Mira Arul on March 11th. In the end, we will remember not the words of our enemies, but the silence of our friends. Martin Luther King, Jr., 1963. In 1963, 8 white Alabama clergymen publicly criticized protests led by Martin Luther King, Jr., calling them untimely and extreme. From a jail cell in Birmingham, King responded with what became the letter from Birmingham jail. In it, he wrote that the greatest stumbling block to freedom was not the Ku Klux Klan, but the white moderate who preferred order over justice, or in other words, those who remained neutral. Neutrality was a privilege those clergymen could afford because segregation did not threaten their daily lives or authority. For black Americans facing violence, discrimination, and legal inequality, neutrality was not an option. Silence did not protect them. It only protected the system. 1. The illusion of neutrality. Some people experience politics the way that they experience weather. Small talk when you have nothing to say, arguments at the dinner table for entertainment, or sometimes even something to complain about, but ultimately it's experienced from indoors. They might forget about the subject on a Monday morning, and it won't change their daily routine, threaten their safety, or decide whether they are free today. To most people in these cases, being politically neutral seems most rational, most mature, or even ethical. I am not a political person. I don't like to get involved. It's too complicated. And yes, sometimes it is complicated. There are debates where the factors are unclear or disagreement does not endanger anyone's rights. But not all conflicts are like that. 2. Choose your battles. All political issues exist on a spectrum, every conflict on a different level. Some are surface level or trivial disagreements that may inconvenience but do not necessarily endanger anybody. Other conflicts operate much deeper, the outcomes shaping who has access, protection, and opportunity. For example, a debate about housing policy may sound technical and irrelevant until it determines who is displaced. After all, nobody is neutral when they are the ones getting affected. Similarly, a discussion about voting laws may seem merely a procedural call until it decides whose voices are heard and credited. 3. Psychology of neutrality. Neutrality isn't always just ignorance or lack of empathy. It grows out of self-preservation. Taking a stand with pride in unjust scenes is to risk something, whether it may be social reputation, relationships, professional standing, or even physical safety. Conflicts threaten social belonging, and humans are wired to protect their place within a group. Here, neutrality is not necessarily because a person defends injustice or believes it is acceptable, but more about calculating risk. 4. Why not choosing is still a choice. There are moments when politics stops being a matter of opinion and becomes a matter of existence. When laws determine who can marry whom, who can vote, who can attend school safely, who is protected, and who is policed. If politics feels unavoidable, that suggests proximity to its impact. The option to log off, change the channel, or say, "This doesn't concern me," is more than a personal temperament. It is proof that the system, however imperfect, is not actively built against you, because the freedom to stay out of it is itself a form of security. And at its core, neutrality here is complicity. 5. Neutrality isn't always bad. This isn't to say that being neutral is always bad. You don't always have to choose a side and actively defend it when the argument is about whether enchiladas are better than tacos. In debates where outcomes do not threaten anyone's rights, stepping back can even reflect a sign of intellectual humility rather than indifference. The fact of the matter isn't that neutrality is always wrong. It is whether neutrality is equally available to everyone. 6. Moral responsibility versus moral performance. Simply choosing a side, however, is not the same as fulfilling responsibility. The truth of today's world is that it is very possible to look engaged without being committed. Not to say that awareness isn't important, but reposting a reel about the harmful impacts of AI while actively using ChatGPT to write every email isn't really being committed to the issue. Moral responsibility is what one is willing to risk, change, or sacrifice beyond the moment of attention for the extension of your stance. The question then is not simply whether we speak, but whether our speech reflects conviction or convenience. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com: The Best Comfort Foods That Actually Help When You're Sick. This article was written by Jessica Jackson on March 27th. Getting sick is something almost everyone experiences, especially during seasonal changes when it's easier to catch a cold or feel run down. As temperatures shift and people move more often between warm and cool environments, the body sometimes needs time to adjust. At the same time, viruses tend to spread more easily when people spend more time indoors or in close contact with others. Whether it's a cold, a sore throat, or just being tired and low on energy, the right food can make a big difference. Warm, nourishing comfort foods can give your body the nutrients it needs to recover and help you feel a little better on those tough days. Here are some delicious, easy-to-make foods that can help support your body while you're not feeling your best. 1. Warm soup, chicken noodle, vegetable, or French onion. A warm bowl of soup can be one of the most comforting things to eat. Chicken noodle soup provides protein, and when chicken is simmered for a long time, it releases amino acids such as cysteine, which can help reduce inflammation in the upper respiratory tract. Vegetable soup offers vitamins and minerals from a variety of vegetables, and it can also help your body stay hydrated and maintain electrolyte balance. The mix of vegetables provides nutrients that help restore your energy, while onions contain natural antioxidants. In particular, onions include a compound called quercetin, which can help support the immune system. The warmth of the soup can also soothe a sore throat, and because it's easy to eat and digest, it can help you feel a little better as your body recovers. 2. Hot tea, ginger or honey lemon. A cup of hot tea can be really comforting when you're sick. The active compounds in ginger have anti-inflammatory and antioxidant effects, which can help reduce inflammation in the body during a cold, such as a sore throat or body aches. Ginger can also ease stomach discomfort and improve blood circulation, making you feel warmer. Honey can coat the throat, protecting it and reducing irritation, while lemon is packed with vitamin C, which supports the immune system, helps the body fight off infection, and eases symptoms. 3. Stir-fried tofu with garlic paste. We know that the body needs protein to support white blood cells, which fight off viruses and bacteria. However, when the body is already using a lot of energy to recover, meat can be harder to digest. Tofu is a lighter option that provides plenty of protein while being gentle on the stomach. Garlic contains natural compounds with antiviral and antifungal properties. It supports the immune system by stimulating immune cell activity, helping the body respond more effectively to pathogens. In addition, garlic has antioxidant and anti-inflammatory effects, which can reduce oxidative stress and ease inflammation. Together, they make an ideal choice when you're not feeling well. 4. Soft food, oatmeal or congee. Oatmeal and congee are both soft, warm, and easy to digest, making them perfect when you're not feeling your best. The compounds in oatmeal help promote the growth of beneficial gut bacteria and can support the regulation of the immune system. Congee, when simmered for a long time, produces easily digestible starches, making it gentle on the stomach for people with diarrhea or gastroenteritis. Warm foods in general can relax the stomach, soothe a sore throat, are easy to digest, help keep the body hydrated, provide basic energy, and make you feel comfortable overall. 5. Yogurt with fruit. Yogurt is a fermented food that contains active probiotics, which can help restore a healthy gut balance and support the immune system. It's also rich in protein, carbohydrates, calcium, and B vitamins, which help repair tissues and provide energy for the body's normal functions. Adding fruit, such as strawberry, blueberry, or banana, can bring a boost to vitamin C, antioxidants, and dietary fiber, supporting the immune system, fighting inflammation, and promoting gut health. Additionally, it's refreshing and easy to eat. Takeaways. Although the foods mentioned above can't directly cure an illness, they can provide energy, nutrition, and comfort, making the recovery process easier. Most of these foods are warm, mild, and easy to consume or digest. They're also simple to make and don't take long to cook. The next time you're not feeling well, try some of these easy, comforting foods. Sometimes a warm bowl of soup can help you feel a lot better. Our next article from the teenmagazine.com, AI knows you're lonely, and scammers are counting on it. This article was written by Yana Bijor on April 6th. You've likely heard the cautionary tales. Don't send your money to strangers online. Don't trust strangers you've never met in person. And yet, in 2025, the average romance scam victim lost £7,500 or $9,500 talking to someone who doesn't exist. That's not gullibility. That's a psyop. We're feeling lonely. We are in the midst of a loneliness epidemic, and scammers are capitalizing on our feelings. According to Barclays, nearly a quarter of romance scam victims reported feeling lonely when they first received the scammer's message. The timing is no coincidence, and it's a tactic that works. It has gotten a whole lot easier for scammers to find their prey, thanks to AI advancements. Voice cloning can now be done with just a few seconds of audio. This includes natural pauses, breathing, and even feigning emotion. Deepfakes have gone from 500,000 in 2023 to 8 million in 2025. The fuzzy mouth and weird-looking eyes of a deepfake? That's all gone. Cybersecurity experts are now calling synthetic voices something that's crossed the indistinguishable threshold, meaning people really can't tell what's real anymore. Gen Z knows what's up. Gen Z is on to the scam. Although we essentially grew up with dating apps, we are now disengaging from them. In fact, the same Barclays survey found that 56% of single Gen Zers in the UK are now focusing on meeting people offline, which is significantly higher than the 42% average for other generations. And nearly 50% of Gen Z singles say concerns about AI scams have changed their online dating behavior. That's a big cultural shift. We've decided that the internet is no longer trustworthy when it comes to something as emotionally vulnerable as looking for love. And it's not just the fear of being scammed. 62% of Gen Z singles say they're worried about their voice or face being cloned and used against them. That's not a crazy fear if you're someone who has essentially grown up putting your voice, face, and mannerisms out onto the internet. Our need for connection. The reason these scams work is not because we aren't intelligent. The scams work because connection is a fundamental human need, and AI has learned to exploit it with uncanny precision. According to experts, the next generation of deepfakes will not only look realistic, but also behave realistically, meaning they will move, talk, and act like us. We're essentially creating a future of AI-driven avatars that can hold a video call with you in real time, adapt to how you respond to them, remember what you told them last week, and mirror your energy. In other words, a fake person who gets better at knowing you the longer you talk to them. So now what? The advice to look for a blurry mouth and to look for voice delays is outdated. Experts are much clearer today in that individual detection is no longer possible, and we need to look to platforms, infrastructure, and policy for a solution. In fact, an overwhelming 84% of UK adults already agree that tech companies need to do more to prevent scams at the source. But until then, there are a few things you should know. take your time. Scammers create a false sense of urgency. Real relationships don't pressure you to speed up, keep secrets, or ask for money. Take it offline. Really take it offline. A video call isn't good enough. A face-to-face meeting, and bring a friend just in case, is what you need. Talk to someone you trust. Not because you're being paranoid, but because scammers are trying to isolate you. A second opinion helps break the pattern. Don't send money. If money comes up, then end the relationship. There should be no exceptions. Deepfake technology is getting better and better. But most importantly, you need to know that being scammed by any of this isn't a reflection of you. It's the goal of a sophisticated system designed to exploit the vulnerabilities in our emotional state. And it's going to take more than us to stop it. Our next article from theteenmagazine.com. Why always being productive is burning you out. This article was written by Anushka Patel on March 15th. Always being productive is for robots. But as humans, if we are always working, it is inevitable to experience burnout. Burnout is a severe state of exhaustion caused by prolonged and unmanageable stress. It has become an increasingly prevalent issue, and its effects are glamorized as dedication or motivation. Between juggling life's everyday tasks, we skip breaks, multitask, or study later than we know we should. Whilst this might be disguised as locking in, it is secretly damaging your physical and mental health. Society's obsession with lock-in culture and always being productive is the reason why so many teenagers are feeling burnt out. Studies show that teenagers are under more pressure than adults to succeed. In 2023, a Common Sense Media study showed that over 70% of students felt academic stress, and 81% of teenagers felt negative pressure. These statistics show that burnout can cause a constant strain on our mental and physical health, which can lead to a myriad of serious issues: fatigue, a weak immune system, heart diseases, and depression. We all know the obvious ways to combat stress, which are sleeping, eating well, resting. But how many of us actually put these practices into use? Recently, exam season was always upon me, and the weight of everyday life caused existing to feel like an obstacle. This left me with a numb, unfulfilling feeling like I was living in a monotonous, eerily silent world. It felt like someone played repeat on my life, and every day was the same, until one day I would crack, and then the cycle continued. This feeling of numbness stems from prolonged productivity and stress, which causes your body to go into autopilot mode. Whilst self-care can aid recovery from burnout, it will only help to an extent. Realistically, we will implement self-care techniques for a week or two. Then, suddenly, our to-do list stacks up too high that we can no longer see over the top of it, and our coping methods are thrown out the window. Solutions. The following solutions will help you effectively manage your time to increase productivity whilst avoiding burnout. 1. Pomodoro Method. Study for 25 minutes, then take a 5-minute break, and repeat this 3 times. Then, at the end, take a longer break. This technique helps you to manage your energy and increase productivity whilst also taking breaks. 2. Reframing the way you work. Establishing firm boundaries to have a healthy work-life balance and using your stress as a compass to guide you to what drains you and what makes you happy. 3. Dedicating self-care time. For at least 1 hour a week, be strict about this. Prioritize time for yourself to do something that you enjoy. For example, journaling. This can help you recognize patterns in your emotions, or exercise, which benefits your physical and mental health. 4. Reaching out. This is probably the hardest technique, but talking to a friend or family member can help you feel less alone and keep you accountable in taking breaks. If this feels uncomfortable, listening to a podcast, e.g. Aware and Aggravated, episode 115, Hot and Unbothered, can help you gain an outside view, which puts your struggles into perspective. 5. Manifestation. Research shows that reciting a positive mantra can improve your mental health by replacing negative, stressed thoughts and retraining your neutral paths, which essentially manipulates your brain into aligning with your new mindset. You may feel silly talking to yourself, but trust me, it works. Conclusion. Addressing an overwhelming workload or asking for support is not a weakness, but the first step to leading a more fulfilling and happier life. Burnout is an issue that has become increasingly common in society and can have detrimental effects on your life if it is not dealt with. However, by actively incorporating the techniques above into your daily schedule, you can remain productive whilst maintaining your mental and physical well-being. We've run out of time for today's episode of Teen Magazines. We hope you enjoyed listening. Please join us next time. I'm Jennifer Green, reading for the North Carolina Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. Teen Magazines is available as a podcast at our website, ncreadingservice.org. If you have any comments or questions, please call us at 919-832-5138. That number again is 919-832-5138. We thank you for listening to the North Carolina Reading Service.